peace seems like an unobtainable commodity in our world today. From mass shootings to violent acts against innocent people, from hate-filled and unending conflict between Israel and Palestinians, which we've seen erupt this week, to the ever-constant threat of terrorism right here in the United States, it seems that peace is beyond our grasp. We experience conflict in every form. International conflict, wars around the world, interpersonal conflict, fighting between husband and wife, between neighbors, between family members, interpersonal conflict. We see certainly religious conflict. We find ourselves polarized as a nation between political and ideological conflict, conflict over social issues, conflict over racial issues. There are disasters, the wildfires raging across California, or the hurricanes that devastated the southern United States and the Caribbean this summer. These things, too, can rob people of peace, create anxiety and fear, sorrow. There's disease and illness. There's grief and sorrow that keep people from experiencing peace. There's financial pressures. We filled up a whole board on Wednesday night of all the things that can rob us of peace. But into this mix of conflict and trouble, of anxiety and fear, Jesus speaks to us one of the most profound and powerful promises in the Scriptures. Jesus speaks his word of peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Open your Bible to John chapter 14. As we proclaim Christ's coming by proclaiming the peace of Jesus, the peace that Jesus gives, and how we can share that peace with others during this season of Advent, this season of anticipation. From John chapter 14, beginning with verse 23, I read in Jesus' name. Jesus answered and said to him, he's talking to his disciples here, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." Let me stop there for just a brief second, because that word abode is the same word used in verse 2. If you go all the way up to the top of the chapter, Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many abodes." That's the same word. "Many dwelling places, and I go and prepare a place for you." And so the same dwelling place that we're anticipating in heaven, Jesus says that he is going to make in our hearts right now. "My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode, our dwelling place with him." Verse 24, "He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." He's abiding with them right then. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid." Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise of peace that Jesus gives to us, that through Jesus we can experience this peace and put our hearts at rest and take away our fears. And only Jesus could speak to us this word of peace, because he indeed has come as the Prince of Peace. Father, help us to understand what that means for our lives, for our world, and Father, for those we come into contact with. O Lord, may we proclaim the peace of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. As was read earlier this morning from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Jesus will bring his peace. When we think of peace, we often think about the end of hostilities, of enemies reconciled, of warring parties laying down their arms or resolving their differences. But also we would think of peace, as we often do, as that serenity of mind, that calmness of heart, that is without anxiety, without fear, without pain, without sorrow. Jesus can speak peace in the midst of all of our conflicts, in the midst of all of our fears and sorrows and losses and anxieties, because indeed he is the Prince of Peace. And when he comes to live within us, when he comes by faith into our hearts, he brings his peace. And that's the message for today, that the Prince of Peace has already come. And not every conflict has been resolved. Not every sorrow has been taken away. No, we still experience those things. There are many things that could make us anxious in this world today. But in the midst of this, he brings his peace. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation." And that word is, in the Greek language, is translated in a number of ways in other places in the New Testament as trouble or afflictions or suffering or even anguish. Or just pressure, stress. Of course, you never have any of that stuff, right? No troubles, no stress, no sorrows. In the world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. You'll have afflictions and sufferings and pressures and anguish even. Then Jesus says, "But take courage. I have overcome the world." The Bible in Romans chapter 8 tells us that in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And so, as we go through these things, we know we have the one who has already overcome by his death and resurrection, by his ascension and sitting at the right hand of the Father. We're already serving the victorious one. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That victory is present tense, that even though we may go through great difficulties and hardships and losses and things that can bring us great grief and sorrow and even fill us with anxiety and fear, Jesus comes to us in all of those things and says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace." So that peace is found in the Prince of Peace. Our peace is found in Jesus. If we have Jesus, we have peace. And if we don't have Jesus, well, we might experience a few moments of tranquility here and there. But ultimately, we're not going to experience his peace. And so, first of all, Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, and we need to receive him so that he might be our peace. We need to hear his word. And with his word comes grace. His word is the means of grace, the way in which God channels his grace to us, offers his grace to us, comes through the Holy Spirit to fill us with his grace so that we can believe in Jesus. And so in me you have peace. In Jesus there's peace. Without Jesus we won't experience peace. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he is the one who has overcome, who has won the victory. But that victory came at a terrible cost. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because he paid the price for peace. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, we read, "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Our natural condition in this world is not that we have peace with God or with anyone else or even with ourselves. Our natural condition is that we are estranged from God, that we are enemies of God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation." That is, we have been put right with God. We have ended the hostilities between us and God. And there's also hostility in our own hearts. Because in Galatians chapter 5, it says that if we live according to the flesh, instead of walking by the Spirit, we're going to be producing the works of the flesh. But it says in Romans chapter 8, "But if by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh, we're going to live." Because there's this war going on inside of us between the things we want to do in the flesh and the things that God directs us to do in the Spirit. And he says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we have this conflict even inside of us. But what does Jesus do on the cross? "For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him." Jesus came as the fullness of God. And through him, through Jesus, he reconciled to himself all things, making peace through the blood shed on the cross. That's the price of peace. His blood shed on the cross. The price of peace is the shedding of blood. During my high school years, my dad served in the U.S. military over in Germany, and we got to travel in Europe, and scattered across Europe are cemeteries with the graves of U.S. military that gave their lives during World War I, World War II. There are cemeteries in Europe from Britain in the north to Italy in the south, and the beaches of Normandy in between. And there are, in fact, over 100,000 graves of U.S. servicemen who gave their life to end the hostilities that were raging in Europe at that time. And, of course, that doesn't include all of those in the Pacific Theater, nor in other wars that have been fought. It is a solemn thing to go to Arlington National Cemetery and see those rows and rows of those who shed their blood to bring peace. But that peace is always temporary in our world today. But Jesus shed his blood to give us an eternal peace. A peace in spite of, in the midst of our conflicts that we experience right now, and through our anxieties and fears and pressures and everything we go through, Jesus says, "In me you will have peace," because he has paid the price for peace. First, to reconcile us to God, to reconcile us to others, even to ourselves, and give us His presence, the presence of peace in our life. And that's our third point for today. Again, now turn with me back to, if you moved out of John chapter 14, let's go back there a minute. Because the presence of peace is the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." And that word to keep, it often translated obey, and it does mean that, but it means more than that. It means to keep something is to guard it as a precious treasure. We have God's word. Do we guard it as a precious treasure? And what is His word? What is His commandments for us? This first and foremost commandment is simply to believe in Him, to receive Him, to accept Him, to believe that He gave His life for us. If we have that word, a word of hope, a word of peace now, He says that He and the Father will come to us through the presence of the Holy Spirit and make our dwelling place right here with us in our hearts. "He who does not love me will not keep my words, won't listen to my voice. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you." And through His word, He wants to abide with us forever, because He says in verse 26, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all these things and bring all of these things to your remembrance." He'll bring this word to us, and we'll have the presence of peace in our life, because through the Holy Spirit we'll have the Prince of Peace in our life. We'll have Jesus in our hearts and lives. That word is the word of the gospel, the word of the good news of what Jesus Christ has already done for us. And we read in Ephesians chapter 6 that it is the gospel of peace, the gospel of peace, this good news that brings us peace. "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." That's the gospel. "Who proclaim peace. Who says to Zion, your God reigns." And when Jesus reigns in our hearts and lives, we have His peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He's paid the price for peace. When we accept that, when by grace we believe that, by hearing the gospel, God comes to us so we can put our hope in that, we have the presence of peace in our lives. And it's the presence of Jesus Christ abiding with us through faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified, put right with God by faith, we have peace with God." And in Ephesians 3:17, it simply says that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. That's where He wants to live, by faith. And so we have the presence of peace through faith. We have the peace of Jesus that gives us joy. In John 14:28, we read, "You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father." Well, a little bit later on in John 16:22, it says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again and your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you." And that's where we should be right now, because we know that Jesus died and then rose again, and we can have faith in Him and have the Prince of Peace abiding in our hearts, and it brings us joy. Joy. And no one will take your joy from you. And then there's also the word of peace. Jesus talked about His word. And this word of peace is that He speaks His peace to us. Psalm 85 verse 8 says, "Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people." And through the word of God, as we take the pages of Scripture and the promises that He gives us, we can experience peace. We can experience His peace as we allow God to speak His peace into our heart. But all that comes through the gospel of peace, the good news about Jesus Christ and receiving Him, believing Him, trusting Him. We've been talking about this peace, but it's not a subjective feeling of peace. We're not just talking about a feeling of peace, because that feelings are based on our circumstances. It is an objective condition of our soul when Christ comes to live within us with His love, by His word, through faith, we have His peace. peace. We have His peace. Are you experiencing the peace of Jesus? Yesterday, on the way back from where we were up near O'Hare Airport, we stopped by to see Bruce Thorson. And Bruce has gone through just some horrible things with a stroke and paralyzed ended up having a tracheotomy. He can't communicate by speech. He lays in a bed all day. His eyes were focused on me, and we were able to talk to him. I shared God's word with him, God's word of peace. And when we came, he was anxious, very anxious. And yet, as we spoke God's word and God's promises to him, visibly his countenance changed. Visibly his body relaxed. He became peaceful. And a nurse that was standing outside the room listening to all of this came in the room and needed to clear out his throat and suction out his throat. She said, "Oh, I didn't want to interrupt you," because it was giving him so much peace. And we talked, and she was a believer, and she says, "Doesn't God's word bring peace?" And I says, "Yes." And we could see it in that life. And it brought her peace, and then we got to sing some Christmas carols, and we left. He was very peaceful and resting peacefully. That's just one example of the word of God, the power of the promises of God that brings us peace. He wants us to fill us with his peace, the presence of peace by faith in Jesus Christ to live within us. He wants us to experience the joy that comes from his peace because we have the word of peace. Now, are there things that are taking away your peace right now? Are there things that are causing you to be anxious, fearful, sorrowful? Into all of those things, Jesus says this, and here's the promise that we leave with all of you. "My peace," Jesus said, "I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, be anxious, be fearful, be sorrowful. Neither let it be afraid." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that Jesus Christ indeed is the Prince of Peace. Thank you for the price that he paid for peace, that we might be reconciled to you, even with ourselves and with others. And Lord God, may we, by faith, experience his presence of peace in our life, the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit in us. May we be daily being encouraged by your word of peace. And Father, to put all of our conflicts and all of our restlessness and experience the tranquility, the calm, confident assurance of your presence and your peace. And Father, in this Christmas season, we might even experience your joy because it is the fruit of peace. And so, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not experiencing your peace because they've been keeping you at an arm's length, Father, today may they come to you. Having heard the good news, this gospel of peace, may they receive the Prince of Peace by crying out to you, Lord, silently even in their hearts. "Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I need a Savior. I believe you paid the price to forgive my sin on the cross. And I ask you to come into my heart, into my life. I put my faith in you as the Prince of Peace, as my peace, as my Prince, as my King, as my Lord. And Father, come to give me your peace. And Lord, thank you that I can have the confident assurance of one day being at home with you in heaven because I believe you also rose from the dead and are coming again to bring me home one day to yourself, to live in your dwelling place forever with you. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen."